Hello everyone, good evening, welcome along to another VCO Esports studio with myself, Ben Constanduras. We're here to give you all the insider news and personalities of the sim racing world and combining the world of virtual and real world motorsport. And tonight we have the champion, or one of the champions I should say, of the V10R League. It's the second season of V10R. And it has gone from strength to strength with some of the biggest real-world names going up against each other in the virtual world. Now, if you haven't been following, it is BMW Motorsport who took the victory just about a week ago now. Having got runner-up last year, one of the main protagonists of that is Michael Romanidis, and he joins us now. First of all, you must be absolutely flying high to have got a victory over some incredibly big names in the world of sim racing.
Absolutely, thank you for having me. First of all, yeah, there's some big names in the V10R League, and somehow managed to beat them all. But yeah, some great teams, you know, 10 of the biggest teams in the sim racing world, and yeah, we managed to come out on top. It was a great pleasure to, first of all, be on the track with them, and second of all, fighting with them, which is something, you know, we all enjoy as sim racers and we aspire to do. So yeah, it was a great season.
Let's talk a little bit more from a driver's perspective about V10R. We've spoken to the creator, or one of the creators of the V10R League, before the first season, actually. So head on to our YouTube channel to see if you can find that particular interview. But a very interesting concept, really, Michael, because something really that is not accessible to Joe Public and very much designed specifically for sim racing.
Yeah, I mean, the car is an absolute beast to drive. The format is, as you said, a little bit different to other championships, I guess. But that just makes it a little bit more interesting. And yeah, I mean, it's a great format, I think. It's really punishing as well, because there's only 4 points in every match. So if you just drop one, just means you have to win all of them to, you know, to win the match. So yeah, it's a great format and a great championship. It's also unique. The car, you can't find it anywhere else. And I don't think anyone else has it other than the drivers that compete in the series. So yeah, it's definitely a unique championship. Something also to fill the time between, personally, between F1 Esports and, again, F1 Esports next year. It's kind of right in the middle, so it's kind of nice to compete in that, and yeah, in a different game as well as Auto Corsa. So yeah, it's kind of a perfect championship for me personally to compete in, and yeah, great format, I think.
How did your experience of the first season kind of help you, I suppose, tactically in racing in the second season? Because when you're racing a full grid of cars like we're used to, that's one thing. But when you're racing one-on-one like we see in the V10R League, you have to kind of, I guess, approach it in a different way, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the things that actually changed, which kind of removed that element, was the head-to-head, which was a thing in season one, but for some reason no longer in season two. I kind of missed that because I really like going head to head, and that's kind of, you know, what this series probably wants to promote as well, because there's maximum, you know, 6 cars on the track in every race, and yeah, it kind of promotes wheel-to-wheel racing and rivalries, more personal, I guess, between two drivers. But yeah, the format was still pretty much that, you know, very minimum cars on track and fighting all the time wheel-to-wheel. And yeah, I think the format also promotes kind of more close racing, but also more aggressive racing, because as I said, there's only four points in every match available. So, you know, everyone just goes for it. And yeah, you try to help your teammates. There's 6 cars only, but 3 of them are teammates. So yeah, you always just try and help. And yeah, very minimum cars, as I said, on track. And there's always wheel-to-wheel action. I think in every single match, there's action between drivers. And I think that's very, very exciting.
Really interesting dynamic for Team BMW, because ultimately BMW Motorsport is represented by a multitude of different sim racing teams this year. So you, for instance, also represent Williams, and Williams have a deal with BMW. Just explain a little bit more about how that relationship works and how it worked in V10R League, where you had teammates that effectively weren't necessarily Williams teammates, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually the first time I ever spoke with Kevin and actually Alan as well. And in the beginning of the season, people might not know this, but also Felix Quernbach was in the team, who was actually very close to the first round of the Vitenar League. He was crowned the Sebring champion in the GTE or GT3 class, I think, with a BS competition, of course. So it was great to have him in the team, and later he was substituted by Alan, who was originally meant to be in the team. But yeah, first time talking with my teammates, which is not something I usually say, but it was definitely exciting. And ultimately, I also got to see my teammates at Williams at some point in the season as opponents, which was definitely also different. But yeah, I think it was a great opportunity for me to kind of go up against different teams and also have different teammates, obviously, and work with different people, because I didn't, at BMW, we didn't just work with Kevin and Alan and Felix, but we also have a very close relationship with Redline, of course. So it was great to work with Enzo, Mikael, and Jeffrey Reidfeld. So yeah, that was great also.
Yeah, how was it? Kind of directly racing and trying to beat teammates that for this particular event weren't teammates.
Yeah, exactly. Into the semi-final, I think it was that we had to go up against Redline. From the beginning of the season, we're actually quite fortunate that we're in different groups, so we didn't actually have to face them in the group stage. And one of us had to be first, and one of us had to be second, more importantly. Well, in the best case scenario, I hope. But we had to face them in the semi-final because we got knocked out of the lead on the group stage, and we got knocked down to second, which pushed us into the other bracket, which was also Redline in that bracket. So yeah, one of us had to be knocked out. We knew it wasn't going to be an ideal situation right from the beginning, but yeah, as you said, it was a little bit odd, but you always have to get the job done. We're practicing with them like 10 minutes before that semi-final, so we both knew what we were about to head into. And yeah, one of us had to be knocked out. We both knew that, and I think it was a great match. And with this format, you also need a little bit of luck, so I think the losing team doesn't really necessarily have hard feelings, because let's say sometimes the more strong side, I'm not saying that in that particular match Redline was stronger, but sometimes with this format the stronger side actually loses, because there's a great deal of luck to go with this, because yeah, there's only four points, and if you drop one, then you have to get all of them to win the match. Otherwise you have to rely on a tiebreaker with a 2-2. So but yeah, it was definitely a little bit odd. But at the same time, we wouldn't really be in that position without Redline. Like, I don't think we would have both reached the semi-final. So yeah, it was a little bit tough to have to knock them out, and I think it was gonna be tough for them to have to knock out maybe not me and Alan, but Kevin is their teammate, their direct teammate at Redline. So I think it was a little bit odd, but yeah, it's just part of the job, and another team we had to face in the end.
It is a very unique situation at BMW Motorsport this year with this partnership with Williams, with Redline, and with BS Competition, ultimately allowing them to pick the very best of all the different places. A big prize pot also for the V10R League. How does that work for you as a driver? For people who are perhaps aspiring to be professional racing drivers on sim racing and thinking it will make them incredibly rich, how does the prize pot kind of get split between everybody?
Yeah, it's definitely not the case, I think. Well, I'm not sure yet. I mean, that's not the obviously that's a great deal when you spend hours and hours every day, but that's I think not the biggest thing for me personally anyway. I think it's a title, you can call yourself a champion now, and at the end of the day, that's what's important to me. And yeah, obviously there's a great actually prize pool in the V10R League. I think it's also been increased by around 20%. Compared to season one, and I think it's just gonna get higher, to be honest. I think that's expected. So yeah, it's great. Obviously you have to perform at a very high level to be able to make a living out of this, I think. And but yeah, obviously there's rewards when you spend hours and hours for 1, 2, 3 months repetitively. There's obviously gonna be some rewards that come with it. And I think yeah, obviously the people that watch help that as well with the revenue, I guess, of each series. But yeah, it's not the main thing to look at, especially because I'm not in charge of that, how the money gets split. Obviously, the champions get more than the people that finished further back, but I don't think it's I don't think we are rich by any means.
Okay, that's cool. Now you really, your background in sim racing comes from, let's say, the arcadey side of things with F1 esports. Just how hard is it for you to adapt to other platforms? I said, of course, of being one, but you've also got experience on rFactor through Le Mans Virtual as well.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't really realize, I think, when I started playing F1 like years ago, that there are these great sims elsewhere on PC mainly, because I also started on console. There's not really much there. Obviously, there's a setter, but I kind of started to try out from time to time, different sims, and Assetto and rFactor, RaceRoom, iRacing. There's so many with different advantages and also disadvantages each, but I think actually the fact that I started in F1 was giving me an advantage when I stepped into other sims, because the force feedback is so much better, to be honest, in other sims, because the detail, there's just so much more detail in other sims. And when you get used to F1, I say this to my teammates as well, that whoever just stays on the F1 games, no offense to the F1 games, but I really admire them, because I think the other sims are a little bit more enjoyable to drive, even for fun, like just to hop on them with, especially on Assetto, with like old F1 car mods and stuff like that. It's so cool, I think. And and also in terms of competitions, I really just do whatever is trending on that particular period of the year. And obviously now it was a VTNR league. After that, it might be something on RaceRoom. But obviously, F1 Esports conquers like half of my year with preparation and also all of these events. So it's kind of difficult to take part in other series, in other games. But I'm always up for that, honestly. Whatever has four wheels and it can go around a track, I'm gonna hop on it, and I'm trying to be the best out of everyone.
Talk a little bit about your F1 esports experience, representing Williams and hoping to be able to do the same in the next season coming up. Just how much practice and preparation do you have to go through along on your own, but also and support from Williams to get yourselves to the level which is required?
Yeah, I think Williams is one of the best teams, to be honest, in the sim racing world. I think that's quite obvious, to be honest. And so it was a great honor to be picked up, as early as 2019, like January, I think I joined the junior team. I didn't think I realized back then how much of a big team and how much of a privilege I had back then to join this team and this organization. Obviously, back then I only joined the junior team, but you can kind of understand that at some point, if you perform well enough, you're going to be in the big team. And so that happened in September that year. And yeah, since then, obviously, being a how do you say, a driver in different sims, Williams is a great place to be also, because I don't think there's a team that takes part in more championships than Williams. So whatever championship I look at, I can just say to the team that I want to take part in this, and they're going to get a livery ready with all the sponsors, and I can just drive the car on that championship and represent the team. So yeah, that's really cool. And for F1 Esports, it's a great honor, but also responsibility to represent Williams. And I really hope I can do that again this year, to be honest. Yeah, also visiting the factory is incredible. I don't think you can join many great teams in the sim racing world, but none have the team Williams, and none have such a privileged background in F1, which is, even though I take part in other championships, F1 is really at my heart. That's why I started racing. That's what I started to follow when I was young. And yeah, just watching so many old F1 cars at the Williams factory, not just F1 cars, but championship winning F1 cars. It was just incredible. And meeting all of those people also in the factory is great. And yeah, I don't think you're gonna get that anywhere else, to be honest. I hope it's definitely one of the biggest teams. I hope it can be the best at some point, because I think the team deserves it. So but yeah, it's a great responsibility. I don't think you really look at the name that you're representing when you're racing in anything, but when you it's more of an honor, not pressure when you race, for a big name like this. So yeah, it's definitely a great place to be, and it's definitely for the people that leave it, it's definitely hard to leave because I don't think there's many other bigger names that you can represent in the sim racing world. So yeah, I'm definitely very honored, to be honest, very grateful to have this opportunity, and that's why I keep working hard and try to represent them as I did in the Vitanar League, for example.
What kind of support do you get from Williams? I know that Williams itself, partly as an esports team, is not associated to the team, the F1 team, but there is a very heavy influence from inside the team. So, what kind of things do they give you other than a shirt on your back, I can see, but do you go and have training regimes, nutrition regimes, things that the real F1 drivers would go through?
Well, all of this stuff, it's quite expensive right here where I'm sitting, to be honest. I've never had the
Oh, yeah.
opportunity to try out one of these, I guess. But yeah, other than that, training regimes as well, as I said, visiting the factory, obviously financial backing, that's quite obvious. But it's more the honor of representing this big name, and they try to support in every possible way. Whatever you ask them, they're going to consider it into building the team or improving yourself as a driver and as a person. So yeah, they really just do anything you can imagine to help us, from planning their schedules to organizing all of this stuff. I never really realize how they do it because they have like we have like 40 drivers in the team, I think, or something like that, and we compete in the same amount of championships each year. So it's quite crazy how they manage all of that thing. All the kudos to them. Yeah, as I said, it's a great honor, and they try to help in every way possible. And we try to give them back with results, and that's what they need, I think, at the end.
Now you're a very proud Greek. I know that for sure. But a motorsport heritage in Greece. One of the most famous Greek Formula One people is my dad, I reckon. There's not that much Greek heritage in motorsport generally. So how did you end up getting involved and becoming a fan initially?
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing really in Greece in terms of not so much motorsport. There's some things in motorsport, but in terms of esports, there's really nothing. I think in Coanda we have Pash, obviously, Paschalis Gerkis in Coanda. So I think personally that's everyone I know. And there's another Greek that qualified for the Olympic series actually in GT Sport. So that's the two people I know in Greece that do sim racing. But that's just another motivation to try and keep going and try to bring esports into the esports scene into Greece as well. Because there's so many advantages that you can have if your country and your government knows about what esports is and stuff like that, especially when you're young and you're going to school and you've got all of these events, but you at the same time you need to be at school and they don't really know what you're doing when you're not there. So for example, that's for me the biggest issue, or was the biggest issue so far. And in terms of motorsport, that's the bigger target. I hope to be there as well. We did have a few people that tried to reach at the pinnacle, but it's just so difficult. And I don't think it's a secret that Greece is not one of the most rich countries, I guess, more privileged countries. So that also makes it incredibly difficult. But yeah, I think sim racing is kind of a alternative to that, as everyone says. And I really do hope that the more Greek people try this out, and I can hopefully inspire them in some kind of way, or give them motivation to try and beat me and be the best, Greek driver out there or something like that. I really hope to have some competitors and teammates, Greek teammates at some point. That would be awesome.
Do you have an issue with your friends at school, kind of explaining to them why you're spending hours and hours on the computer, where you're gone if you're missing a day's work? Do they understand what you do?
No, they're actually the most the people that understand it the most somehow. They really follow it. I've actually switched schools in the past year, the last year of high school for me, and I've never had more support for my sim racing, to be honest. I didn't really think they would think much of it, but they follow the races and everything like that, and it's really cool to see. Obviously, I sometimes don't see them for multiple days because of this as well, but they really follow and they try to support me as much as possible, and it's really cool to see. Yeah, as you said, I didn't really expect it for people, especially in Greece, because no one knows what esports is. But I guess if you kind of play other games like COD and stuff like that, you kind of understand what it can be in racing as well. And the classmates really follow my progress, and I'm really happy about that as well.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. So you're getting close to the end of school, which obviously is such a big structural thing in a person's life. And you're still able to perform at the level you are at sim racing. What's kind of the objective moving forward once the school is over and allowed you even more time to focus on your sim racing?
Yeah, I wish I knew, to be honest. I've recently, I don't know, I'm going to uni basically next year in a different country, not in Greece, unfortunately. So yeah, that's kind of another curveball, but at the same time, I still, I say this and people don't really want to agree with me or don't believe me, but I hope that this is the number one priority for me in the future, and whatever comes from school is kind of the alternative, let's say, if this goes wrong, because I really enjoy this much more. I think I'm really privileged that I don't think I realized when I was young how privileged I am to have found a passion to have a, found a passion, sorry, from a young age to kind of pursue something with financial rewards. And but yeah, I don't know. I wish I knew. I don't think anyone 17 years old really knows what to do. Exactly where he sees himself in 5 years. I hope I see myself in a real car winning races or something like that, but you really have to be in the right place at the right time to make a living out of this, and I can only try and push as much as I can to do that. But yeah, in terms of school, I'm just gonna keep going with both, and until I see something pushing ahead of the other, then I might stop one or the other. But yeah, personally, I hope that's sim racing, which I can keep on doing. Obviously, I also understand that I'm not going to be able to do this until I'm 30 years old. The level is already incredibly insane. And I think when you're 30 or 35, I still hope I'm in sim racing as a coach or as a team manager or something like that. But I don't think I'm going to be able to compete as a driver anymore, unfortunately. So I think at that point I'll hopefully have cleared my mind as well, as to what I want to do. But yeah, that's I'm a very blurry period of my life at the moment, but I hope I can keep doing this for as long as I can.
Yeah, it's an exciting part of life when things are moving so fast and things are happening so fast for you with championship wins and potential for more excitements across the whole of this year and yeah, okay, you start then getting excitements from the real world and things will come together. Don't worry, 35 isn't too old as well. You can still have a little bit of a career in
No,
doing
it's
that
not.
35. I'm 37. So
It's not. No, you're good.
it's
You're
great
good.
to chat with you, and thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the V10R League, and fingers crossed for F1 Esports moving forward and for the whole Williams team, and hopefully you come back to VCO for our World Championship at the end of the year, where we're going to try and find the very best team across all platforms, because it sounds like you're one of the kind of guys that would be right up there with your Assetto Corsa and rFactor experience.
Definitely, I really enjoy the VCO Pro Sim actually, and I really hope I can be back. Hopefully, it doesn't clash with F1 Esports. And yeah, thank you so much for having me. To be honest, at the start of the V10R League, I was actually binge watching some of the episodes here and hoping that at some point I would be here. And a month later, I'm here. So yeah, super grateful and thank you for having me. Keep up the good work with hosting, and yeah, hopefully I see you again soon.
Look at that. Two Greeks on the same screen talking about motorsport. Represent. Thank you very much, Michael, for joining us. As you know, on the VCO Esports Studio, every week we have a new guest and I never know who it's going to be. So make sure you tune in and we'll be into June, into the second half of the year. It's amazing how time flies. Thank you very much for joining us. And thank you to Michael and Williams. And we'll see you next week. Enjoy your racing. Bye-bye.